So Christmas in John. John tells a Christmas story in a single verse. In verse 14 of the prologue, he says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." So I suggested that in the other 17 verses of the prologue, John works to set that event, that Christmas story, the Word becoming flesh and dwelling among us. John works to set that event in its proper setting. To do that, he tells us some things about the Word who's going to become flesh. Last week we noted just some things that John tells us about the Word. To tell us about the Word, he goes all the way back to the beginning. Goes back to the same spot that the writer of Genesis goes to. Goes to the beginning. John tells us that the Word, who was to become flesh in Bethlehem, he was there in the beginning. However long ago you think that was. 10,000 years, 13 and a half billion years ago, the Word was there. John tells us that the Word was with God in the beginning, and that the Word was God. He tells us that everything that has come into being since the beginning, everything that has been created, was made through the Word. He tells us that in the Word was life. That life is the light for people. It's the light for human beings. And he tells us that the light shines in the darkness. And that the darkness does not overcome the light. So to help us with the setting of the Word becoming flesh, he tells us some things about the Word. But he not only tells us some things about the Word, he also tells us some things about those that he comes to dwell among by taking on flesh. He tells us of those whose flesh he takes. In order to be one of them, he tells us some about those people. John wants us to grasp the meaning and the significance of the Word becoming flesh and dwelling among people, being one of them, being incarnate. John talks about the light of the world, the Word, who is the light, shining in the darkness. So he thinks that those whom the Word came to, that they are in darkness. He's the light. He thinks that those whom the Word came to by taking on flesh, that they are in darkness, that they're in the dark. John agrees with something that Zechariah says in Luke. Here's the end of Luke chapter 1. "The sunrise from on high shall visit us to shine upon those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death." So John agrees with that, that the Word was light. He took on flesh in order to shine upon folks who were sitting in darkness in the shadow of death. Matthew says that Jesus fulfilled what Isaiah said. This is a quote in Matthew out of Isaiah. "The people who were sitting in darkness saw a great light. Those who were sitting in the land in the shadow of death, upon them a light dawned." So John agrees with that. He agrees that the Word was light. He agrees that the people that he came to, they were sitting in darkness. They were in the shadow of death. The people the Word's going to dwell among have need of both life, shadow of death, and light dawning upon them. So why do people need light and life? What's the problem with people that they need life and they need light? What's the problem that the one coming into the world with life and light, what would make that good news? What's the problem? We might expect John to give us a list of dark sins, of deadly sins, If people are enslaved and if people are mastered by a bunch of dark things and deadly things, a bunch of dark and deadly sins, then of course the coming of light, the coming of life, would be marvelous good news. So when John wants to tell us about the people that the Word would come to dwell among, we might expect to find an account, we might expect to find a list, we might expect to find an analysis of the dark and the deadly things that entangle those people, that cause them to sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. When Paul sets the scene for the gospel in Romans, we get a list of improper things that people do, dark things, deadly things. Here's kind of, you'll recognize it out of Romans. God gives us over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper. Being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, they are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. People doing those kinds of things certainly need life and light, don't they? The Word is going to take on flesh to dwell among people of flesh. In Galatians, we get a list of things that the flesh tends to do. Here's out of Galatians 5. The deeds of the flesh are evident. People that are in the flesh tend to do these things. They are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envy and drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. When you're enslaved by those things, when you're a person who tends to do those things, you need life and you need light. We might expect a similar list of dark things, of deadly things, of dark and deadly sins from John, because he's going to tell us about the one who coming brought life and light. But John does not tell us what the problem is for people by talking of greed or of envy. John doesn't tell us what the problem is as far as why we need life and light by talking about how people are dishonest or immoral or arrogant or selfish, how they murder and deceive, how they slander, how they get angry, how they give themselves over to sensuality. We don't get any kind of list from John like that that says all this dark and deadly stuff, that's why we need life and light. John doesn't give us a list of sins. A list, when you read it, like you probably can read this and say, that's awful. That's awful stuff. People who do that, they're bad. How inappropriate, how dark. People doing such dark things, they certainly need life, and they certainly need light. John tells us that the Word brings life and light. So what does he think is lifeless? What does he think is dark? Here is what John tells us about the people that the Word took on flesh in order to dwell among. In the prologue, there was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. And the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So first there, just verse 9, John tells us that the true light is what is needed by every single human being. That the true light is not, John doesn't say the true light is good for old people, but not very helpful to the young people. He doesn't say that. He says the true light enlightens every single human person. He doesn't say the true light is helpful for the poor, but doesn't have much to give to the rich. He doesn't say the true life is good news for the elite, but not much needed by the masses. John doesn't say the true light is illuminating for the smart people, but it's beyond the reach of the simple. Rather, John's perspective is that the true light is a light for all, needed by all. That every single human being that finds himself or herself on this planet needs the light that comes from the true light. It enlightens every person. But then, in verse 10, John says, the Word was in the world. The point of that is he's not far away. He's not way out there. He's in the world. He's not unavailable. You don't just get the answering machine when you call or a busy signal. He's in the world. He's very accessible. And we're reminded that the world was made through him. I mean, he's the creator. So the Word isn't a minor player on the scene. You look around, anything that's created, he was involved in that. It was created through him. Everything bears his mark. Everything shows his design. His fingerprints are over everything. His eternal power and divine nature, to use words of Paul, are clearly seen in what has been made. So John reminds us that the Word was in the world. The world was made through him. I mean, his creator, power, his nature, and are clearly seen. And all those things that are the work of his hands. But, John says, I mean, you would expect that everything's been created by him and he's in town, you would expect pretty straightforward that he'd be welcomed and acknowledged, that he would be thanked, that he would be honored. If you think Windows 10 is like the greatest thing ever, you know, if Bill Gates was in town, you would say, let's go shake his hand, right? I mean, you would acknowledge him and want to thank him. Thank you for that greatest thing ever. So if in town is the one who created everything, he's around, you'd think pretty obvious. He would be welcomed and acknowledged. He'd be honored. But John says the world did not know him. Created it. He's here. The world doesn't know him. Those who are in the world, they are his creation. They are his creatures. And he has come near, and he is life, and in him is light, and they do not know him. And then in verse 11 says something similar, that the one who is life and the one who is light comes to his own. He becomes flesh, so he comes to others who are flesh. He comes to the ones whose form he is taking. He comes as a human to humans, but he's not received by them. He's not received by his own. John reminds us that the dark and that the deadly is not reflected only in our relationship to other people and how we slander and covet and act immorally and argue with each other and get angry at each other. That the dark and the deadly in the human person is not reflected only in relationship to other people, in those relationships where we can lust and deceive and attack. John reminds us that the dark and the deadly gets reflected in our relationship to God and to his only begotten Son. That the dark and the deadly gets demonstrated in us not knowing him. In us not receiving him. Not knowing the one who created us. Not knowing the one whose creatures we are. And we don't know him. The dark and the deadly gets reflected in us in not receiving the one who comes to us. Who loves us. Who's willing to help us. Who takes on our own nature to dwell among us. Not receiving him. Loving the darkness, embracing the deadly, gets revealed. Not just by turning towards materialism and possessions. Darkness in us deadliness in us gets revealed not just by drugs and immorality and self-centeredness and all those things, that those improper things that our flesh likes to do. Certainly gets demonstrated there. But the darkness and the embracing of the deadly gets manifested in not knowing Him and not receiving Him, the one who comes. So here's a Christmas lesson from John. When you have the desire, when you have the need in your own person, in your own life, for life and for light. So any place where you need light, any place where you need life, know Him. Receive Him. That's the Christmas lesson. Anywhere. If you need life, if you need light, receive Him. If you needed gas, you would go to the gas station, right? When you need food, you would go to the grocery store. If you need time to yourself, you'd find a private spot. If you need life, you need light, receive Him. Because in Him is life, and in Him is light. But here is a remarkable thing. When people need life, and when people need light, they often do not receive Him who is life and who is light. That's a remarkable thing. It shows how deep the darkness and how enslaved we are to the deadly. That when people need life and they need light, they don't receive the one who can give those things. And who is those things? Something that seems so blatantly wrong and foolish that you would think it would never happen. It's almost like kind of like if you were on an island in the middle of the ocean and had everything you needed on the island, and all around our stormy, treacherous seas, you would say, let's stay on the island, right? That's like a slam dunk decision. We don't, we're not leaving. We got what we need. We'll probably get killed 100 yards offshore. We're staying. Something that would seem so blatantly wrong, so foolish, as that you would think it would never happen, in fact, happens very frequently. Often, even perhaps usually, the first thing to falter, the first thing to be discarded when people need life and when people need light is the one who brings life and who gives light. It's like the first thing to be thrown overboard, the first thing to be turned away from. You would say, why would that ever happen? People encounter something dark. People encounter something that's going downward, taking them down in life. Often, usually, the first thing to be abandoned is the one who is light and life. That's a remarkable thing. You need light, you need life, and the first thing that you turn away from is the one who is light and the one who is life. You need light, you need life, but what do you do instead? You watch TV. Great source of life and light, right? You surf the internet. You stop reading the scriptures. You cease praying. You skip church. You take counsel only with yourself. You buy something you don't need. Indulge some lust that your flesh has. You do everything except go to the one who is light. And go to the one who is life. That happens a lot. It's a remarkable thing that it happens. All of us, our flesh can do things that make up those lists that we had up there a couple minutes ago of the dark and the deadly. Your flesh, my flesh, is capable of doing those things. Each of us has done improper and foolish things. Things that miss the mark. So we're all capable of doing those things. We know that our flesh is capable. We know that they reflect the darkness and the deadly in us. Yet, for many, I don't worry much about people going off and raping and pillaging and murdering. I don't worry too much about a lot of people doing that, but I do worry that the life and the light that has come into the world, that when that person needs life and light, they go anywhere but to Him. But they don't know Him when that's their need. They don't receive Him when that's everything in their situation. If they need life, they need light, and they don't receive Him. If you need light in any area of your life, any relationship, in any direction that you're going, if you need light, if you need life, if you're having a birthday, you realize that you're mortal. Sooner or later, the statistics for death are still hovering around 100%. They're probably going to hold even as I get close. I need life. If you need life, if you need light, right now in any area, here's my exhortation. Here's the lesson from John. Know and receive the Word. He came near to us. He came to dwell among us. To bring those very things. To bring light. To bring life. So don't go look for it where it can be found. Receive the one who can. And then finally, and very greatly, John tells us that some do receive Him. John does not articulate the benefits of receiving the Word in terms of success. Receive Him and you'll get rich. He doesn't articulate the benefits of receiving Him in terms of personal happiness, feeling fulfilled, being all that you can be, turning into the kind of person you want to be. Doesn't say anything like that. John articulates the benefits of receiving Him in terms of what you are able to be in relationship to God. You are able, if you receive the Word, to be God's child. To know Him as Father. To be in His family. It's easy. It's tempting to hope God becomes the purveyor of life and happenings that we want, that we desire to have in our earthly pilgrimage. We want God to come and help fulfill our desires, give me the things I want, help me the kind of person I want to be, give me the relationships I desire to know, fulfill and grant the list that I can generate what I want to take place in my life, in my relationships. It's easy to just want God to be the purveyor and the fulfiller of all those things. But here is what all of us most need. What is most needed and deep down most desired and wanted by all of us is for God to say to you, you are my child. That's what we all most need. For the Almighty God to look at you and say, you're my child. You're mine. I'm your Father. I'm your God. You're one of my sheep. And that is what is possible if we receive the Word and believe in His name, to be a child of God, to be born again of His Spirit. You don't just become a child by doing something. You have to actually be His child, to be a person who was born of imperishable seed, partake of the divine nature to be His child. You're going to be born of the Spirit. What makes it possible for those who receive the Word to be born again so that He can say, you're my kid, you're my child, you're my son, you're my daughter. Sometimes we employ the phrase, you know, that person, you see the person doing something, you hear Melissa singing, you say, she was born to sing. You see a person who's doing something that's just such a perfect fit, a perfect expression of who they are, what they're capable of, and you say, that person was born to do that, born to fish. Here's what happens to one who receives the Word, the one who believes in the Word. He's born to be God's child, born to be in His house, born to be a member of His family, born to know Him, born to be like Him. And as He does all those things that belong to being God's child, He is born to do that. That's what happens. So John says it's possible
for the one who does receive the one who is life and light. So I just want to close with this story. I remember a scene, it's from an animated movie, I don't know if it's a Disney or one of Pixar or something else, but it's a scene in an animated movie. And the guy is very interested in the girl, of course. He wants to get to know her. He wants to have a relationship with her. But he's nervous, of course, as guys can be, that the girl won't like him. The girl won't receive him. The girl won't want a relationship. So he's a little bit hesitant to put himself forward. And then the circumstances happen, circumstances transpire to provide the perfect opportunity for the guy to meet the girl. And there's a friend there of the guy who knows that the guy is anxious to meet her. And he sees those circumstances that now provide the perfect opportunity. And what this guy does, he just signals. As those circumstances unfold, and it's obvious that it's the perfect opportunity. This is the moment you've been waiting for to meet her. The stage is set. He just goes, "There you go, dude. Exactly what you were waiting for. Go." But the guy doesn't seize the moment. And he doesn't meet her. He doesn't talk to her because he's too chicken. We can be like that. Here we are sitting in darkness, sitting in the shadow of death. And then here before us is the Word, one who was there in the beginning, one who was with God, the one who is God, the one through whom everything that was created got created. In Him is life, in Him is light. Exactly what we need. And He has come near. He's become one of us. He's right there in the flesh. You're a friend, you would go, "There you go. There you go. It's a perfect opportunity. Receive Him. Know Him." But many don't receive Him. Came to His own, they didn't receive Him. Came to the world and the world didn't know Him. Don't be like that. Don't be like that. Because if any do receive Him, any do believe in Him, they get born to be God's child. So it happens to them. That is a very great light. A very great light for those who up to that moment were sitting in darkness, sitting in the shadow of death. It's an opportunity to be born, to be His child. So, Christmas lesson from John. You need life and light? Receive Him. Receive the Word who's drawn near. It's a great light for us in our darkness, great light for us in the shadow of death. His body broken for us. The body of the Word became flesh, broken for us. The blood, the life of the One through whom everything that was created got created. He took on flesh, but His blood be poured out, who enlightens every single human being, His life poured out for us, that we could be washed, that you could be born again as a child of God. Well, here it is. I encourage us all to receive Him, believe in Him, know Him.